Let your name be exalted. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Lord, speak to us even in this service. Manifest yourself again. Glorify yourself again. Let there be testimonies. And let your name be glorified. Open our ears to hear you. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
May all the men sit down while the women keep standing. Glory to God. And look at all these beautiful women. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know it is Mother's Day today? And we want to celebrate these awesome women for all that they do. All you do, we are not taking it for granted. We can be doing macho, but we know we are not macho anything. What you do is what still keeps us macho. Glory to God. Everything you keep doing, we can't say thank you enough. But as a church, we say thank you. And on behalf of the men here seated, we say thank you to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we ask some men now, what's the name of your child's teacher? They don't know. But you know. Some don't even know the grade. Glory to God. But you know it. Therefore, men, stretch forth your hands towards these beautiful women and let us pray for them. Pray for them from your heart. Pray for them from your heart. Pray for them. Bless them from your heart. That the Lord God of holiness, the hand will rest upon you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. That the hand of the Lord God of righteousness will rest upon you. That no one will celebrate in sickness. We will not lose or bury any one of you. We won't sorrow over any one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your going out is blessed. Every time you return, it will be a blessing. You won't sorrow over your children. In the name of Jesus, none of you will bury your children. None of you will bury your grandchildren.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt you. We give you praise and we give you glory. Amen. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Men, can you take one more step and just congratulate 10 of them each? Glory to God. Just make sure you congratulate like 10 of them. Celebrate them. Be blessed in Jesus' name, women. Our mothers, we bless. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Celebrate them. Congratulate them. Glory to God. Celebrate them. Congratulate them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Put those hands together. And please be seated comfortably. Glory to God. Started the teaching, Unlocking the Supernatural. This will be part 2B, Unlocking the Supernatural. Started last week with Unlocking the Supernatural, parts 1A and 1B. And let's also be reminded of our prophetic theme, I am redeemed, a wonder to my world. And as we commence this morning, let me start by saying that the supernatural can be said or described to be a product of our obedience or faith. The supernatural can simply mean the obedience of our faith. That is, the result or the product that comes from our obedience will be the manifestation of the supernatural. Jesus said, do what I tell you to do, and then you see the manifestation of the supernatural. If you do what I tell you to do, you will see what is not normal, what is not natural. Doing what he says to do brings the super God down into the affairs of the natural man. Every time we do what he says to do, it is engaging the super God to manifest in the natural man. And that is what people call the supernatural, because it is not natural. In John chapter 2, verses 3 to 10, something happened there. It says, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever is said unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firstkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when they have drunk then that which is worse. He says, but it's not the case with you. But yours is different. So he said, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. In other words, by obedience of faith to the commandments and instruction, it turned everything around. It made you different from every other person. It has made your occasion different from every other person's. Why? Because of your obedience of faith. Your obedience of faith. So the supernatural has no regard for what you did or what you didn't do. The supernatural only responds to what he says to do that we do. In John chapter 9 again, verses 1 to 8, Jesus was passing by. The Bible says he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Because that kind of situation is associated with sin. Who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Then Jesus said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, he's a natural man, but by the reason of his condition, many will turn to Jesus. By the reason of his condition, I'm going to change what is happening in his life, and everybody will know that this is not normal. This is not natural. So the manifestation of the supernatural is simply God coming down into the affairs of man and turning their natural thing to super. Adding the super God coming into the affairs of a natural man and then turning the affairs of that man to super natural. You know, there are some things some people are going through now. The reason God allowed you to be going through it is because he wants to make you a star. At the time you begin to share your testimony, everybody will say, God did it for you. There are things that you want God to do. But for example, in the tomb, Jesus, Lazarus, your friend is dead. Come and heal him. He's sick. Come and heal him. He said, no. Just wait. I want to wait for him to die. Yeah. People will be thinking you are a wicked human being. But he says, so that the glory of the Lord may be seen in his life. The Bible says, after he rose Lazarus from the dead, that as people were looking for Jesus everywhere, people were looking for Lazarus everywhere. Why? The supernatural appearing in the lives of a man and turning his story around. I see your story turning around this time. And Jesus said, neither of them sinned. Verse 4, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he did something very unusual. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay out of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which, and he came back. He said, and he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Obedience of faith. He didn't do that to some people. He just, the only man that came close to that, he also made spittle out of the, and put it in his eyes. And then, do you see? The man said, I see men as trees. He repeated the same thing and he said, now I see. But for this man, the instruction was different. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. If you must see, you have to obey. The hand of God working in the lives of men by obedience of instruction. That's why you can't walk with somebody's timetable. You don't know the instruction that was given to that person. You are walking with his own instruction. You need your own instruction. I mean, understand what God is saying this morning. Glory to God. I said glory to God. John chapter 14 and verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And what will happen? And he will manifest myself. And he will manifest myself to him. Manifest himself to who? The one that obeys his commandments. The one that obeys instructions. It all begins, and the manifestation also begins with knowing who we are. If you don't know who you are, like keep saying, people will tell you who you are not. If you don't know who you are, people will give you names that you are not. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, and say, read this, I pray thee. He said, I cannot read it. Why? For it is sealed. And I took time to now understand this scripture very well by going to the previous one, which is verse 10. Look at what verse 10 says. It says, for the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. So they can't see. He had closed their eyes. So it is only revealed to you. Not to them, not to anyone, because they haven't even seen their own. It is only revealed to you. And how is it revealed? It is revealed by taking a look at what the mirror says about you. Somebody else can tell you close to who you are, but only you know who you are by the word, by taking a dive into the word. TLB translation, it says, for the Lord has poured out upon you a spirit of deep sleep. He has closed the eyes of your prophets and seers. So, all of these future events are a sealed book to them. When you give it to one who can read, he says, I can't, for it is sealed. And that is why we need to know us in the book. It is close to them. It takes you to see you in the book. It takes you to see you. As a matter of fact, it called to a day, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? He said, some say you are this, some say you are that, some say you are this, some say you are that. He said, well, that's what they said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, well, that only came to you by revelation, because I know who I am. They are saying who I'm not, but you know who I am because it came only to you by revelation. Somebody can tell you anything. Listen to me very quickly. If God shows anybody anything about you, it is better you see it yourself first. When the person is saying it to you, it will be a confirmation of what you already know. Not that somebody will be telling you who you are not or telling you what you are not, and then you are taking it, they have seen it before. They have seen it. That's why they are telling me. No. What do you see? Knowing who you are determines what you can even do. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said in the first service, there is this program that I watch. It's called Jeopardy on TV. And some of us watch it. It's a program where they ask questions. You answer those questions. And then they said, at the end of the program, close to the end of the program, they will tell you, make a wager. And I've been looking at those people, I have had a wrong opinion of those contestants. And why is that? You get a question wrong, and then you still put all your money on the line. So I keep saying, are these people okay? Didn't you know you didn't know it? And then you still make all your wager. In fact, some of them, they show, what's the answer? What did this person write? The person just wrote, question mark, which means I don't know. I have no idea. And then how much did you wager? I wagered everything I had. So inside me, I'm like, why would you do that? Are you not stupid? Until recently that I found out that before the question is revealed, you would have made your wager. That means question already revealed. If you feel that it is in the area that you know, depending on whatever, you make your wager. You get it wrong, you lose all the money. You get it right, well, you get all the money. My opinion didn't matter. They didn't even know me. I mean, you understand what I'm talking about. They didn't know. I was calling them all manner of names. Stupid. Look at you. What did you do? They didn't, number one, they didn't hear me. Number two, they didn't know me. Number three, that didn't stop them from getting what they would get. It's me. I'm not getting anything from what they are doing. Somebody else's opinion of you will not matter. The only time it matters is if you don't know who you are. If you don't know who you are, then anything anybody calls you, you get angry. Who am I? Let's see. Three of those quickly this morning. Who am I? Number one, I am seated with Christ. I am seated with Christ. Glory to God. I keep saying to people, where someone sits in service may determine what you receive in that service. And for some people, you know why you don't obey the instructions of the ushers? Because you already have a seat in mind. And that's exactly where you are going. So the usher says, sit down here. No, you know where you are going. Why? Because you just feel comfortable there. So our sitting position is very, very important. In Luke chapter 11, verse 43, Jesus said concerning the Pharisees, he says, woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the market. You love the uppermost seats. People love to sit where they can be recognized, which means your sitting position is very important. I shared in the first service in those days, I believe it was 1980-something or 1970-something, when it was October the 1st, where we come from, and it was, what do they call it? Independence Day. At that time, I believe it was the first time that they were doing this flag thing. I can't remember what it is called, that people will come, they will display all manner of things, and it had never happened before. What did you call it? Aristatics, whatever it is called. Glory to God. They were doing it. And that year, because it was the first time it was happening, the governor of the state, the late Bola Ige, was there. Then I don't know what it was, Awolowo also of late was also there. By privilege, I was sitting in front like this. They were sitting right behind me. And so every time I was taking a glance, wow, me, I'm sitting with the governor. I'm sitting close to the governor. I'm sitting close to Obafemi Awolowo. I felt it made me feel cool as a young boy. It made me feel so. I went to school. I was boasting. Did you watch it yesterday? If you didn't watch it, go and watch it again. Did you see where I was sitting? Close to the governor. Close to the. And it was just by privilege. That's why many people pay to sit in sports, in a sports arena, where they will be close to action. Those seats are not cheap. Sitting position matters in the same way in the realm of the king of the kingdom. Your sitting position determines who you are. And this is who you are. He said, Psalm 113, verses 6 to 8. He raised up the door poor out of the dust and lifted up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. So the sitting position is like for like. In the stadium or where they are playing soccer, they say to us that there's somebody that is sitting in the something, something, the enclosed one. Uh-huh. Glory to God. They say, so it is, and then where you pay, it is like for like. Why? You don't have the money, you can't sit there. So those who are there, they know their worth. You don't have the kind of money to sit there, you are not there, except somebody just drag you there. And your action when you are there will show that you are not the one that paid. Because it's not, glory to God, it will show you are not the one that paid. He said he make them to sit with princes. So princes sit together. And also in heavenly places, he says he now took us to his own sitting position. What is happening there? Far, Ephesians 1:21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. In other words, far above oppression. Far above the oppression of the enemy. Where we are seated determines who we are. And we are seated with him. So if we are sitting with him, he says he raised us up together with him. To sit together, Ephesians 2:6, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our sitting position now matters. You are here on the earth, but you must have the mentality of where you are seated. Seated with him. So whatever needs to get you must first get him. You know why people have bodyguards? Bodyguards sit with them. To get them, get the bodyguard first. But in this case, they must, before they get you, they must get your master. Your sitting position matters. Number two, who am I? I now have the passport of the kingdom of light. I now have the passport of the kingdom of light. In other words, what does that mean? I have crossed from the kingdom of darkness and I have been baptized into the kingdom of light, which means I now carry a new passport. I have exchanged my passport from the kingdom of light and exchanged it for the passport of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light. I gave up that passport. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath now what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. This translation has resulted in not only our sitting, changing our sitting position, it has also resulted in our change of passport. That means, you know, when you have a passport, your passport determines your access to nations. Your passport determines your access. There are passports that people carry. Glory to God. And you know where you can, don't even go near. How many understand what I'm talking? There are PR people here now. The only prayer you are praying now is, Lord, let the Canadian passport come. I need to go places. Let the Canadian passport come. Why? It will give you access to more places than the one you are carrying right now. How many understand what God is saying? Now, our access is the passport of light. That means there is nothing, no gate that can be shut against us. If passports can give you access, then light, the passport of light, gives you access to all things. All things. Glory to God. Gives you access to all things. From now, you are changing levels.
Amen.
You are changing story.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. I shared with you before I got the Canadian passport. And every time I was traveling to Buffalo, New York, which is just an hour from my house, we will be there at the border sometimes for 3 hours. Just wasting your, because you have to do fingerprint every time you are crossing. They must scan your car every time you are crossing. And every time you are crossing, there is no exemption. Sit down here. When the green passport came, is it blue? It's blue. When the blue passport came, I decided I wanted to go to Michigan this time. And I drove myself, by myself. And when I got there, you know, your passport gives you, the kind of passport you hold gives you, it determines the kind of boldness you have. How many understand what I'm talking about? And when I got there, they said, nationality, Canadian. He's no longer Canadian. Place of birth? Well, nationality? Canadian. Where are you going? A friend is turning 40 in Michigan. I just want to be there with him. How long will you be there for? I'll be there in 3 days. In other words, what am I going to do in your... It's just to... I'll be there in 3 days. All right. Have a good day. 5 minutes. You're out of there. So what am I saying? Your passport can slow you down. When you have the passport of darkness, nobody sees in the dark. So if you want to move, you have to be careful. If they switch all the light here off now, everybody will be cautious of where they are going. So you are trying not to hit anyone, not to knock your leg on anything. But the one that has light has no restriction. It's just going. It's just moving. All of us are going to that point. The one that has light gets there in 2 minutes. The one that does not is still struggling because he can't see. That's who you are now. Who you are is the one that has the passport of light, which means speed for you. Amen. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
I said it means speed for you.
Amen.
Nothing will slow you down again.
Amen.
Number three, who am I? I am now an overcomer. At redemption, I became an overcomer. The battles I lost before, I became an overcomer. But the battles that's the battle I will ever lose. Why? Where I belong to now, we don't lose battles. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God. And we are born of God. He gave back to us. So whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We are now born of God. And if we are born of God, we are redeemed never to lose battles again. Why will the King of Glory lose any battle? Why will the Captain of War lose any battle? And that is the person we are working with. I may be challenged, but I cannot be defeated. I may be challenged, but I cannot lose. I may be challenged, but God is working it out to work in my favor. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now that we know who we are, only those who know who they are can unlock the supernatural. Now that we know who we are, how can we unlock the supernatural? How do we unlock the supernatural? Number one, by engaging the power of faith. Engaging the power of faith. Faith puts believers in command of the supernatural. Whatever we believe is whatever can be manifested. Mark 9:23, Jesus speaking. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In other words, there is no limit to what faith can produce. There is no limit. In Matthew chapter 8, someone came to Jesus and made a demand. Matthew 8, it says, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And this man made a statement that even Jesus had never heard. He said, oh, no. I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Just send the word. Because I know how it works. The same way it works in the army is the same way it works in the kingdom. That's why we are called soldiers. Because it's the same way.
It works. How does it work in the kingdom? When a general is coming, he doesn't have to go to that place. He just needs to send somebody. Hey, General so-so-so says I should tell you that you should do so-so-so thing. You obey it whether you like it or yes. So the general says, this man says, general, you are a general in the kingdom. You are the general, you are everything in the kingdom. You don't need to come. Just send the word. And whatever is making that child die or servant to die will live. Send your word. What, you know what Jesus said? He said, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I see unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. In other words, there is nothing you say, sir, that the devil can resist. I know it because it's the same way it works in the natural. A general cannot give you an instruction and you still remain there. And you are saying you are not doing. You are not doing what? A general says do something. You say you are not doing. You must do it. But otherwise, they can shoot you dead there. For, what is it called? Lawyers. What is that thing called? When you don't obey. Insubordination. You must obey. So, sir, you don't need to come. Send the word. And my servant will be healed. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Just send your word. And the Bible says the man was healed that selfsame hour. The man was healed that selfsame hour. The faith does not care about your status. Faith does not care about self. Faith does not care about insults. Faith does not care about protocol. Faith, just obey. And faith kicks off. Obey what he says, and then you begin to see what he says you will see. For example, the hand of God that commands the supernatural is engaged in faith. That's why faith is the master key. Every time faith is activated, it releases the hand of God into the situation. Inside the hand of God lies his power. And that power is the one that manifests in every situation and turns the natural to supernatural. So to engage that hand, faith must be in place. Isaiah 53 and verse 1, he said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That is, those who believe our report are the ones that will see his arm. Those who believe our report are the ones that are entitled to seeing his hand. Who shall believe our report? John 14, 10. He said, believest thou not that I am the Father and the Father in me? The works that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So his hand is the one that does the work. So every time we obey or our faith kicks in, it releases the hand of God to go out on our behalf. And he says every time he stretches out his hand, the hand returns with testimony. You can't engage his hand and not see signs and wonders. Somebody's story is changing this time. Secondly, also take note, the level of the manifestation of the Spirit will be proportional to the level of our faith. In other words, let me say that again. The level of the manifestation of the Spirit will be proportional to the level of our faith. That simply means the level of the the level of the testimony you desire will be proportional to the level of your faith. Where your testimony stops is where your faith can carry you. You want to see more, then you grow your faith. You want to see more, you grow your faith. You know, at a point, you had the faith that when you lay hands on it, or even yourself, that anytime there is headache and you just pray, it disappears. That's a level of faith. When faith grows, then you know again that when you enter anywhere and somebody is sick, you pray for them, it lives. The more we grow in faith, the more of the supernatural we see. Jesus entered the house one day, and then they said, they saw the father-in-law of the Peter, sick. He didn't touch him. He just said, get up. Or the mother-in-law or something. He just said, get up. And the Bible says she rose up and then she began to minister to them. In other words, she went to the kitchen straight. The person that was lying down, sick. When Jesus entered, he said, get up. And then she went straight to the kitchen. Level of faith. Your level, whatever you want to see, grow your faith. If your faith is not there yet, then you grow. We have the responsibility to grow our faith. Why? When faith kicks in, the hand of God is stretched out. You will see that hand.
Amen.
I said you will see that hand.
Amen.
Paul, one of the ones that manifested the supernatural, look at his testimony. In Acts of Apostles 24 and verse 14, he says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so I worship my God, the God of my fathers. Now, look at the next thing. Believing all things which are written in the law. Paul said, I believe all things which are written in the law. In other words, people may call me crazy, but it is because of my faith they are calling me crazy. I believe anything. He was ministering to somebody one day. The person said, Paul, Paul, thou art beside thyself. In other words, you are crazy. Something is definitely wrong with you. He said, thou art beside thyself. After a while, he said, yes. Then after a while, he continued. The man said, Paul, you know you are almost converting me to be a Christian. He said, you are almost converting me to be a Christian. Why? Because of his faith. That's why Paul could say, I can do all things. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Why? Because I believe all things. As a matter of fact, Paul, the Bible says concerning him in Acts 19, 11 to 12, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. He says, how? So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits out of them. So people will go to Paul and say, and use handkerchief and touch his own body. And then they will bring that handkerchief back and then they will lay it on the sick and the sick will recover. Your story must change.
Amen.
I said your story must change.
Amen.
But if our story must change, our faith must grow. Our faith must grow. You know why some people's faith is not growing? What you are seeing on TV. You are so used to what you are seeing on TV, it is not allowing your faith to grow. You get home now, the first thing you will turn on is CNN. And then all manner of evil reports will start showing. The economy is gone. In fact, people are... I saw one 2 days ago on Yahoo. They say even in Canada, people are now withdrawing their money sharp, sharp. Because they are afraid that banks will close. And then somebody will get home and say, they have said, let me go and withdraw everything that I have there and keep it at home. All manner of reports. But faith does not look at the report of man. Faith looks at the report of God. Whatever you see here and believe it and do it, then it will trigger the hand of God in your direction.
Amen.
Thirdly, the level of our faith determines the outburst of our mouth. The level of our faith determines the outburst of our mouth. Many people say the negative things because that is what is in their heart. That's what they believe. The negative reports they see is what they believe. So that is what is coming out of their mouth. But what is faith? The level of our faith determines the outburst of our mouth. What we say determines what we see. So if you want to see the manifestation of the supernatural, keep speaking the manifestation of the supernatural by faith. What you want to see is what you must say, not what is happening. What you say is a seed, you must see it. Whatever we say is a seed that always comes back with harvest. So what we want to see is what we should be saying, not what is happening. What is happening, I always say to you, what is happening is temporal. What we see determines what we say. And what we say determines what we see. We will harvest what we sow. I mean, understand that. Everybody harvests what they sow. In my house, for example, I said in the first service, you can never say in my house, my children, say in my house that something has finished. We learned it from our fathers, that you can't say something has finished. So if you come to my house and there is maybe plenty, they will just tell you, Daddy, there is plenty of water. We understand what that means. But you can't say it has finished. I said in the first service also when I was growing up, I would hear my mom say it every time. If I want money, I would say, I want to buy bread. I have plenty of money. And inside me, I'll be saying, give me now. If you have plenty of money, bring it out. Until I now understood later that when she's saying that, it's just an avenue of not saying I don't have, because it is temporary. What you see, if you want to trigger the manifestation of the supernatural, speak what you have faith for. Speak what you believe. Let it come to pass. I'm going to be a millionaire in this nation. Eh? I didn't hear you. Some people have even given up. They are not saying it. How can it be? Leave that one to God. I'm going to be a millionaire in this nation. I'm going to be building houses. I'm going to be giving cars out to people. But somebody is already calculating. Give car out. A $5,000 car. No, let's even say a $2,000 car. Give out to who? When I can send it to, then they will just sell it and send the money back. I can send it to where I'm coming from. And then they will just, you send it, they still ate the money. Am I making sense? Some of you have sent cars. You have not seen money. You have just seen story. Stories is what you are seeing every day. Give it, be a blessing to somebody so that God can change your life. All right. So how many of those cars have you sold now? People are just coming, they are just, in fact, you see the one that you said we should sell 1 million? You know how much they are pricing? How much? 200,000. Eh? After a while, they just sell it, send the money, I need the money. How many understand what I'm talking about? Glory to God. Be a blessing. The level of what you say, believe it. If you believe it, you will say it. I will give cars out. It's because you haven't seen it. That's why you're not saying it. If you see yourself doing it, then you will say it. When we were in Toronto, I gave a car out. In Georgia, I gave a car out. Why? I don't need it. I wanted to sell it. How much would I? The first one said, it was a 1998 Ford Contour. If I wanted to sell it, how much will I get from it? 1998 Ford Contour. You're now saying, I want to, at least you can, you now start pricing. Bring in 1,000. Let me pay 800 now. Okay, pay 800. But it's only 200 I have now. So take 200. And afterwards, you now become enemies. Why? Because it's not paying. How far now? Bros, it is. Do you know how much I spent on the car yesterday? Say what you want to see. If you can see it, you can see it. The reason you are not saying it is because you haven't seen it. If you see it, you will see it. Mark 11:23. For verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe all those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. He will have whatsoever he says. That's why you are not permitted to say what is not right, because that's what you will have. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6, he said there, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin.
neither say before the angel, it was an error. Wherefore, should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of your hands? The work of your hands will not be destroyed. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, doors will be opening up to you. I said doors will be opening up to you. It's our covenant day of open doors, part 2. And listen, we live in a world of darkness. And so for doors to be opened, light is the key, is the master key. We are still referring to light again. If doors must be opened, light is the master key. Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3, it says, arise, shine, for thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but there is a severance now. But the Lord shall arise upon thee that has light, and his glory shall be seen upon thee that has the light. And the Gentiles shall come to the one that has the light, and kings to the brightness of the rising of the one that has the light. It's a world of difference. In a world of darkness, light separates us. Light lifts us up and takes us out of bondage. Do you know? Light opens the door. Look at what happened to Peter. Acts 12 and verse 7. He says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And what is the result of the light? The light shined in prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from his hands. And in verse 10, Peter thought he was dreaming. When they were past the first and second wall, they came unto the iron gate that led unto the city, which opened to them on his own accord. And they went out. So the one that has light cannot be shut in. Light will always produce open doors. Light will always produce open doors. There is no iron gate that will not answer to light. Light makes the difference in a world of darkness. And what is that light? The word of God. John 1, 1 to 5. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, he said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and there was nothing made that was made. Now, this is where I'm going. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So I take that to mean light is life. Light is life. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light, life was the light of man. So inside life, inside light is life. Isaiah 58 and verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And then what happens? Your health springs forth speedily. You know what the Holy Ghost showed me yesterday? No wonder people who have cancer go through light. You have cancer? They say you must go through chemotherapy. The chemotherapy is actually you going through light to kill the cells. How many understand what God is saying? So inside light is life. That means nobody can live without light. Anyone that is living outside of light is already dead. It's just a dead man walking. Inside light is life. John 12, 35 to 36, Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk ye while the light, walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. So, when you have light, revelation sets free, revelation opens doors.
anyone, anything you see by revelation, the door can never be closed to you again. If you have seen prosperity by revelation, it can be closed. If you have seen good health by revelation, it can be closed. If you have seen marital breakthrough by revelation, it cannot be closed again. What you see determines what you manifest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now that the door is open, what do we do to keep enjoying open doors? What do we do to keep enjoying open doors? Number one, never stop loving the one that opens doors, the God that opens doors. Never stop loving the God that opens doors. Don't be a I used to serve person. Don't be a I used to love God person. Never stop loving the one that opens doors. For example, if somebody loves you, and they love you truly from their heart, you will be favored by them. In fact, you call it partiality. They will say, they will do things for you that they won't do for another. But let fall out of love with that person and see what happens. Glory to God. You just fall out of love with that person. Ah, and he used to love me. Glory to God. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And the one that has, I have confirmed their love, I will manifest myself to him. Even when the door has been shut against you and the enemy throws out the keys and thinks he has won, the lover will open it and turn it to you as a testimony. Romans 8 and verse 28. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Number two, what do we need to keep enjoying open doors? Never stop following his leading. Never stop following the leading of your lover. If you have confirmed, that is now trust. It has surpassed love. The love that will result in trust. Love that results in trust. You can say to somebody, I love him, but I don't trust him. How many understand what I'm saying? But you, when you say, I love him and trust him, it's another level of love. Love that has resulted in trust. That was the kind of trust that Moses had for God. Moses said in Exodus 33, 13 to 16, it was a beautiful conversation. Moses said, now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. I want to know, if I have found grace in your sight, prove it to me. How? First of all, by showing me the way, and then I will know that I know you, and then I will know that I have found grace in your sight again. Glory to God. And then he went on and said, and consider that this nation is thy people. And in verse 14, and he said, my presence, God speaking now, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses didn't stop. And he said unto him, if thy presence does not go with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? I said, if I have found grace, prove it by leading us, and prove it by coming with us. You are not just going to lead us, you are going to come with us. I said in the first service, many people miss it in this nation because they naturally follow the leading of people, not what said to them to do. For example, if you are coming to this nation for the first time, God bless your soul. If the person that picked you up at the airport walks in the factory, be prepared to work in a factory. If you are not careful. If the person that from the airport, they will begin to psych you. There's money in. In fact, after every day in the factory, when we are going up, we carry grocery. And you know how much grocery is now.
They give us grocery. They will psych. They will talk to you in a manner that if you are not focused, that's what you will do. A nurse picks you up at the airport. That is her own calling. Or that's his own calling, to be a nurse. You that can't see blood. They are now saying to you, you know, nurses, we get paid very high here. And you know you can't see blood. Now you want to abandon what God gave you, and now you are now following somebody else's leading. It doesn't work that way. He said, follow the leading of the one. They can tell you what you want to do. It's not possible. In fact, you need 10 years before you can get there. If God is the one leading, he will make a way. If he's the one leading and I'm following his leading, he will make a way. God will make a way for you.
Amen.
I said, God will make a way for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 14, 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way you want to take looks good, but God is saying it may look good, but it's not right. It's not the right way. It may look good, but it is not right. It is not the right way. Do what you told me you are going to do. Exodus 13, 17 to 18. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people see war and turn back. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Every time God is leading, he always leads up. God never leads down. God always leads up. Now, there was a way that was shorter, but God said, no, I know these guys. When they see war, they were wrong. Let's take a longer route. Your route may appear or look longer, but if it is God leading, when you get to the Red Sea, he will clear it for you. You can't do things with your small head, with my small head. There is no solution in our small head. But when is the one leading, you will always get to the Red Sea, but he will clear the Red Sea. If you are the one leading yourself, you must part the Red Sea by yourself. Because it's not there. It's not there. If he's the one leading, he says, that's what Moses said. You are leading me, but you are not just leading me, you are with me. The moment I sense that you have left me, I'm stopping wherever I sense that. You are leading, but you are still with me. So that when we get to the Red Sea, you will give me the next command. Red Sea, stretch forth the rod. Now Red Sea, begin to part for them. My children are coming, I'm with them. But if you are the one leading, you will say rat, you will run. Why? Because you are leading yourself. You are not armed to fight whatsoever you see on the way. If he's the one leading, you are armed. He will be the one to fight, but he will just tell you what to do. Rise up on your feet. Glory to God. Give God thanks and praise this morning. Give him glory and honor. Give him all adoration. Father, we thank you. Because you will lead us all the way. You will lead us all the way, King of glory. You will not leave us behind. Every door will begin to open permanently. Doors of progress, doors of promotion. We begin to be open permanently for everyone in this service. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor and adoration. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have prayed. Somebody needs the leading of God this morning. And God can only lead you when you are with him or when he's with you. That means somebody needs to relocate to God's side. You want to say this morning, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I did know you before, but I walked out on you, but now I also want to return to you. Listen, nobody can help you. Nobody can open doors for you. And that is why we can't hide from the one that can help us. We can't hide from him. Therefore, this morning, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are in any of those two categories. You want to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Put your right hand on your heart, wherever you are. And I will pray with you, wherever you are. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Put your right hand on your heart. Online and on ground, put your right hand on your heart, wherever you are. Let me pray with you and for you. You are in the second category to say, Lord, I knew you before, but I walked out on you. But now I want to return to you. Why not also? The Lord bless you. Put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you and for you. And if you are doing that, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. And no door will be shut against them again. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Somebody said that prayer in their heart. Just wave your hands to Jesus as the church begins to clap. Wave your hands to Jesus. Somebody will be by your side right now to assist you. Wave those hands. Wave those hands. Church, church, church. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping for Jesus. You said that prayer online. Send a text message to the number that is being displayed right now. And somebody will also be getting back in touch with you. Seven doors will be open to you today. Seven pleasant doors will be open to you today. Seven doors that are unpleasant will be shut for you this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. The doors of success will be opened up to you. The doors of promotion will open up to you. The doors of mercy will open up for you. Doors of blessings will open up for you. The doors of favor, somebody will enter into it. Doors of miracle, signs, and wonders. Somebody is going into it. Amen. And doors of testimonies. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Seven doors will be shut. Doors of failure will be shut to you. Amen. The last failure you had is the last you will ever have. Amen. You will never be called a failure again. Amen. Doors of stagnation will be shut off. In the name of Jesus Christ. He said, you have circled this mountain long enough. It is time to turn northward. You are turning northward now. Doors of shame will be shut against you. Your shame, he says, he will give you double honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doors of disappointment will be shut against you. The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Therefore, you will never be disappointed again. Doors of lack you won't see again. In the name of Jesus Christ. He says we are in a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. That will be your testimony. Doors of barrenness will be shut. In that land, none shall be barren. Doors of frustration shall be thrown out. Every door of frustration shall be shut and the keys thrown out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Those doors you will never see again. The door of testimony will begin to enter. The door of promotion will begin to see. Every good door you want open will be open to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. As you partake of the communion table this morning, the door that you want open, the Lord will throw them open. The door that you want shut, the Lord will shut them on your behalf. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every form of sickness, every discomfort in anyone's life, as you partake of the communion table, your discomfort will come to comfort. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever is eating anyone up inside them, as you partake of the communion table this morning, whatever is eating you up, the communion table eats it up. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. So shall it be in Jesus' marvelous name. We declare the communion table blessed this morning. We decree, Lord God of righteousness, that as many as partake of it, you will put a seal of what we have talked about. A seal of your testimonies in the name of Jesus. So shall it be in Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Please be seated. The communion table will be coming to you as soon as you receive it and you take it. You can rise up on your feet and just begin to praise the Lord.